drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Come on in. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. And golf season is getting closer and closer, Mike. We were just looking at some forecasts, and we may have our first great day of the year next week. But you and I, we were actually out in the wild together yesterday. How about that?
Yes, we certainly were. And I'll tell you, listening to this song by Casey and the Sunshine Band, you guys know how to make a party happen, people dancing, having a great time. Congratulations to you and to ESPN for 25 years.
It was a phenomenal party yesterday at the House of Blues. It was great to see you. Great to see Eric Ciotti as well from the CDGA. And everyone, it just seemed like, was having a great time yesterday, sort of reliving the 25-year history of this station. And we're so happy that the CDGA is certainly a part of that.
Oh, and we're proud to be a part of it. When our two brands go together, I think it's magic. And to be honest with you, it was like going back in time for me to see Harry and Mac and all the guys and hear the stories about JD. And having an opportunity to meet JD's parents was just so amazing. And to hear the backstories and the support and the love that your industry has for one another is so impressive. And I loved your story. You grew up with these guys.
I did. Like, it's weird. Like, I grew up listening to this station. I have like this little picture of Waddle and Sylvie that they signed for me when I was like probably 14, 15 years old. And now I work with them every single day. It's a cool sort of full circle type moment there. And then just obviously, like, I remember listening to Mac Yurko Harry, Carmen Yurko Harry, and then it turned into Waddle and Sylvie all on my drives home from work, from school. And now to call them teammates and work with them every single day, it's really awesome to have that sort of full circle moment.
Well, and for me to watch you just literally living your dream and watching you produce the Waddle Show yesterday, it was just, for me, it was just a cool moment standing up in that balcony looking down on you guys and just so proud to be a part of it with you.
Yeah,
so,
and at the congrats. House of Blues, too. Like, we were talking, and I was like, this is my first time here. Like, this is awesome. I've never been to this venue before. And I think everyone that I talked to there was like, yeah, I haven't been to the House of Blues in 20 years.
I know. And that includes me. And quite honestly, I can't remember why I was there.
Right.
So it was that fun. Uh-huh. That place is iconic, just down the street from where we're broadcasting this morning. And it was just a special night. Eric and I were so grateful that you guys invited us. So thank you.
Well, we were glad to have you there. It was certainly a lot of fun. And we hope everybody that did make it on out there yesterday had a great time as well. All right, so we're in the middle of kind of bracket pandemonium right now with March Madness, but also how about the Dell as well? The World Golf Championships going on right now. There was some fantastic golf, and it started on Wednesday.
Oh yeah,
I'm in a one and done style format pool that I'm in, and I got the email on Tuesday, like, hey, get your picks in early because this thing starts on Wednesday. So it was a nice little reminder for everybody that hey, you've got to get your picks in early here. But started on Wednesday, we've had some fantastic outings so far. And a lot of big names still, even though there have been a number of big names knocked out, there are still a number of big names still going right now with Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Max Homa, Jason Day, a lot of Xander Schauffele as well. There's a lot of big names still going right now, even though we've seen the likes of a Colin Morikawa and Sung Jae-im and some other big names go down early. Will Zalatoris, another one. So we've seen a number of teams or a number of players go down early on, but we still have a pretty solid field here heading into the weekend.
Oh, we certainly do. And, you know, what's interesting for the listeners who didn't follow early in the week, what these guys do is they get put into a pool, and then they play three matches, and each match is worth a point. And if they tie, it's a half a point. And at the end of the three matches, if there is a tie as to which person is going to advance, then there is a playoff. So yesterday we did have two playoffs, believe it or not. But out of the 16, the Sweet 16 that they figured out, 12 of them went 3-0. So 12 of the 16 are absolutely on top of their game, sharp as can be, and ready to, you know, make a statement before heading into the last event before the major. And some of these guys, this is their last event before they report to Augusta to start practicing, even as early as this upcoming week. So definitely some great storylines. And, you know, Tyler, I'm sad that this event is actually going away. This is the last year that we're going to see match play, other than seeing it again in the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup. So it's kind of a sad state of the state, if you will, for us, because, you know, it's interesting when you turn the TV on and that match matters on Wednesday. It truly does versus, okay, so he shot 72 in the first round. He can easily come back, but you drop a couple of matches in this format, you're out. You're on the outside looking in. But to your point, we have some great storylines out there. You know, a guy like Billy Horschel, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy went out and beat John Rahm and then beat his good friend and teammate from the 2007 Walker Cup matches in Ricky Fowler, and then ended up tying Kevin Mitchell. But that guy is definitely on top of his game. Another guy that I look to with an interesting side story is Cam Young. Mm-hmm. Cam Young is playing with a new caddy this week.
Yeah, and he's been playing pretty solid golf this entire season so far as well.
Yeah,
I mean, he's out there having and he goes 3-0 in his pool as well. Like, he's been having a pretty solid season so far, and then this is just kind of the ramping up and building a little bit of momentum heading into Augusta in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Kurt Kitayama, you know, he wins in a three-way playoff against, you know, no slouch in Tony Finau and company. Andrew Putnam went 3-0. Schauffele went 3-0, but I have to tell you, on the 17th hole yesterday, he's one down. Mm-hmm. And if he loses this match, he's not moving on. He hits a hook on a par three for them. It's a hard, hard draw. Looks like it's heading into a hazard, and it ricochets off of a rock and breaks a kid's phone and all the rest of it. And he ends up winning the hole when he thought he was done. Over.
Yeah.
So now he is standing with new life, 3-0, as he will face off against Rory McIlroy, who is another guy that is on top of his game with the new putter.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. You want to jump in? Your thoughts on the match play taking place right now on the PGA Tour. By the way, this segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. You brought up an interesting point there about this being the last one and how it's kind of sad that this is going away. And you're really only going to have two match play events moving forward. And I agree. Like, it'd be one thing if this was an event that you didn't get a good field in, right? Then I don't think we're feeling as bad about this leaving the PGA Tour. But the fact that you look at the field, and even after, and it's not an event that people show up and they don't take it seriously, right? They show up and like, I'm just here to show face. I don't really actually care about going out and trying to win this event. No, you look at the field that's still alive right now, and you've got guys like Rory and Scottie Scheffler still in this field, like, it means something to them. And for me, my whole thing is, if it means something to the top players, it's good to keep around. As long as these guys are participating in it and trying to win it, then I think there's a place for it on the tour.
Absolutely. And, you know, for us as golf fans, match play is the preferred format that we play amongst with our friends.
Exactly.
We are all, for the most part, match play golfers. And so this is our one chance to put ourselves in their shoes, or they can put themselves in our shoes, so to speak. But, you know, the other thing too is, for a lot of young guys here, and maybe even some of those guys that are on the bubble, you know, is Zach Johnson and Luke Donald paying close attention to how some of these guys are going to perform under the pressure in the guise of match play format? So, you know, Rome is only but a handful of months away,
right?
Believe it or not.
Yeah, you're right. Like, this is a quasi tryout for some of these guys. And, you know, it's always interesting to me when I look through the different pools and you see the guys that emerge from sort of the bottom of their pools, like the Andrew Putnams, guys like that, who, even though they're the lowest ranked out there, and they go out and pull off a 3-0, like, that's impressive to me. And that's something that I'm sure these Ryder Cup captains are going to be taking note of. And listen, this is an important year for a Ryder Cup spot, because there's going to be a lot of spots that are freed up because of the looming cloud that is LIV Golf right now.
No doubt. And I mean, if, you know, Andrew Putnam's a great example. He starts winning a couple more matches, you know our captain's going to take a hard look at him. You just know that, because he could be what you call a giant killer, the David versus Goliath guy. But again, it's sad that this format is going away, and hopefully it's only temporarily and that they'll come back. I know there's been some people who love the golf course and others that really don't like it. You know, JT just decided to stay away from this week whatsoever, because the Austin Country Club just doesn't fit his eye, he said. And so he doesn't want any negative baggage in his mind.
And that's fair.
And that is very fair. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, that... But, you know, when we start looking at the records, my eyes start to go down to all the guys that finished 0-3 or 1-2. And the name that resonates with me off the page is Will Zalatoris going 0-3. Now, mind you, one of his matches was conceded, to Ryan Fox because of illness. Now, after going 0-2 and knowing that you cannot move on,
right,
you know, I think anything can feel like an illness suddenly. But, you know, my sources tell me that he's got some back issues. So here's a guy that we thought might win his first major this year. And right now, I don't know that he's really going into Augusta with, you know, an abundance.
Momentum.
Yeah, with a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence, for that matter.
Right. And you bring up, like, JT didn't participate in this event. And it'll be interesting to see how he fares at the Masters versus someone like Will Zalatoris, who maybe has got a little bit of negative juju with him right now.
Exactly.
And, like, you bring up, too, the point of you're taking a hard look at some of these guys that maybe can make a run here. Like, it reminds me a lot of the coach who goes out as the 14 seed that makes a little run in March Madness and all of a sudden parlays that into a bigger job at maybe a Power 5 or a fringe Power 5 university after that. Like, you could see some Ryder Cup participants this year that maybe you weren't all too familiar with because of events like this. And, I mean, we still have an entire PGA season to play out as well.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, the rest of the season will be telling, but there's something about match play. How do you handle playing that one individual now, where most of the time you're just playing the golf course, you're just playing against the field. There happens to be a player or two in your group, but now it's just, I just got to take care of that guy. And I need to play up, not down to his level. Mm-hmm. So if you're facing somebody that is struggling on the golf course, it's not as easy as you think just to stay sharp on your game.
Right.
So it's sometimes good play breeds more good play, but also bad play will also bring out sometimes bad play in yourself. So it's the ability to handle yourself under strict match play conditions. But to your point earlier, this match matters, but I'll give you $20 million reason why this matters. Meanwhile, at Punta Cana, they're playing for $3.8 million this week. And Scottie Scheffler won $4 million 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So you talk about that disparity again.
Yeah.
But $20 million will get anybody's attention, even in match play.
No doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we do have these brackets in front of us. We're going to fill ours out, who we think wins out down in Austin. We'll do all that when we come back. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment has been brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Weekend, not just in March Madness, but also out at Goodell as well, down in Austin. We've got ourselves a Sweet 16 bracket cooking up. We'll fill it out here in just a second. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season here from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, talking all things in the world of golf. You know, I made it out. You'll be proud of me, Mike. I made it out and hit some balls this week on, I believe it was Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah, it was Tuesday. We had like, I think it was like 50, 55 degrees out.
Oh, yeah.
You've got that type of weather out. Why not go out and get a couple swings in? So I did that. It's my first session. I'm still feeling a little bit of the soreness in my shoulder and my back a little bit, but that's all right. That you always get those first swing sorenesses out of the way early. Get them out of the way so it's not a Saturday or a Sunday that you're dealing with it. It's better to deal with it in the middle of the week, I think.
Well, absolutely. And what I like about what you're doing is you're now starting to ingrain muscle memory again.
Exactly.
And that's what we need to play good golf, to start out quick, to start out fast early in the season. So good for you out hitting balls.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, so we've got this bracket in front of us right now. We're on to the round of 16, the knockout rounds here. And we've got first a matchup between two guys who kind of swept through their fields. It's Scottie Scheffler and JT Poston right here. I don't think there's a lot of thinking that has to go into this matchup here. Scottie Scheffler is playing as well as anybody right now.
That's right. I mean, Mr. Texas, number one in the world. He's got to be comfortable in this environment. I mean, he went to college just down the road. Mm-hmm. He's grew up in this area for the most part, his high school golf in Texas. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler all the way.
This would be like what we saw last night in the NCAA tournament, one of the either Houston or Bama, take your pick. If Scottie doesn't win this, that's got the feeling of what that was last night.
Absolutely, and unfortunately for me, I did have Alabama.
And unfortunately for me, I had Houston.
Yeah, and so yeah.
So but, what do we know?
Yeah, what do we know? But we still think Scottie's going to be there.
Yes. This next one's an intriguing one here. You got Jason Day and Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar is a guy who he's, like I kind of talked about earlier, like Kuchar is the lowest rated guy by according to world rankings in his field, but he's a brand name, and he goes up against Jason Day, a guy who he's dealt with injuries before. He looks like he's playing healthier now and looks better out there. Jason swept through his field, including beating Colin Morikawa, and now is going up in a really intriguing matchup, I think, with Kuch.
I agree, and you know, this is another one of those that, you know, if you're Captain Zach Johnson and you're looking at some potential players, these two you got to give some thought to. Because originally Jason Day was supposed to be the next coming.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he started out and I thought he was going to have at least 10 wins by now in his career. But to your point, he knocks off Colin Morikawa. He looks like he's healthy. You know, he had battles with vertigo and the rest of it. But Matt Kuchar, though, seasoned veteran, and this
right.
is where are you looking for the talent? Are you looking for that experience? Mm-hmm. But I'm going with Jason Day. I think he's healthy, and I think he's got the ability to make a little bit of a run here.
I'm right there with you. You know, Jason Day is one of those guys, like, the health matters so much. And listen, it can turn south the other way, too. He could bow out with an injury at any point, too. Back starts to flare up, and it's unfortunate with him, but it's something that you're certainly taking into account when you're filling this thing out as well. All right, next up, an intriguing matchup here with a couple of young guys. You got Max Homa and Mackenzie Hughes. Mackenzie Hughes, a guy who's had some quiet top 10 success throughout the course of his career, but he's going up against a guy who's had some quiet success before, but that success has now turned into some loud success with Max Homa.
Absolutely. Max Homa, it continues to play some really, really solid golf. Now, he was given a little bit of a gift by Hideki Matsuyama, mm-hmm. who went out with a neck injury, but, you know, and
funny
I thought,
tweet from him as well that
yeah.
he brought up to me before the show.
Yeah, he made the comment about another bogey-free round. Well, it was, but it was also a par-free and a birdie-free
right.
round at that. But he meant all of, you know, the respect in the world. Mm-hmm. He quickly pointed out that the PGA Tour is a better place for having Hideki Matsuyama playing healthy and playing solid golf for us. So Max is a class act. I look for him to outclass Mackenzie Hughes, who ironically, though, did beat a really hot Taylor Montgomery, who just mm-hmm. came off a win. So, but I do look for Max Homa to continue his winning ways.
Yeah, just kind of looking through the different pools here, like Mackenzie Hughes, I know he didn't sweep across the board there, but he may have had the most impressive in terms of the guys who finished in, at least by world ranking points, are in last, but go out in advance out of their pool. He takes down Jordan Spieth, Shane Lowry, Taylor Montgomery. Like, that's an impressive crop of guys. And for someone like Mackenzie Hughes, like, that's a nice way to kind of get your way through.
Right. And is that the kind of newfound confidence, that newborn vigor heading into Augusta, mm-hmm. that all of a sudden he carries this over to Magnolia Lane and has a super first Masters? We'll see.
Yep. That match, by the way, between Homa and Mackenzie Hughes, already underway. Max Homa one up through four there. So we'll keep our eye on that one as well. Sam Burns and Patrick Cantlay. This is where I'm actually going to strike for my first upset. I like Sam Burns. I think he's had some nice rounds so far this season. And I think he can continue that against Cantlay.
You know, it's funny. I almost went that direction. But Patrick Cantlay, he's going to win a major. And
you think in this calendar year?
I do. I really do. I think his game is so solid from tee to green. Could be arguably the best putter on the tour right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cam Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Cam Smith. You know, but probably number two in the world. But with that being said, I'd look at Patrick Cantlay to still go ahead, beat Sam Burns, have some, you know, confidence going into Augusta. I don't think he's going to win at Augusta, but I do think he's going to win at the PGA Championship.
All right, so that brings us now. We've got Scottie Scheffler. We each wish Scottie and Jason Day into the quarterfinals here. We'll get to the other side of the bracket later on. But Scottie Scheffler versus Jason Day, I mean, it's really tough. You're not going to find me betting against Scottie Scheffler anytime soon.
Neither would I. And again, he's number one in the world until he proves us wrong, or somebody can literally take this guy down. Mm-hmm. But yes, I've got Scottie making it to the final four.
I look at Scottie too, and he's a big name, but it always feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder too. And you kind of saw, like, he's a boring person, right? Like, in a good way, though. Like,
absolutely.
I feel like the fact that he doesn't have all this charisma that you see across the rest of the tour maybe works to his benefit, because it's events like these that he still gets up for. Because you could see, like, if a Brooks Koepka if he wasn't on the LIV Tour and he was playing in one of these, I don't, like, Brooks doesn't make it out of the pool play.
Exactly. And, you know, if I'm Captain Zach Johnson, I'm admiring Scottie in every which way but loose. This guy's demeanor is the same whether he's four up or four down. Mm-hmm. And he is just a quiet killer. And
right.
That's what he'll do. And he will bore you to death with mm-hmm. the consistency. His short game is uncannily good.
Yes.
So, you know, I'd look for him to do very, very well against Jason Day.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I am moving Scottie Scheffler along. All right, you got Max Homa taking on, I've got Sam Burns, you've got Patrick Cantlay there.
I do.
Who do you have emerging from that matchup?
Believe it or not, Max Homa.
I've got Max Homa as well. So we may disagree on who is going to be in that matchup there, but that we are in agreement that Max Homa moves on here. By the way, Cantlay and Sam Burns currently tied through three right now, so that match already underway as well. But yeah, I'm with you there. I think Homa, just, I mean, talk about one of the guys who is having one of the hottest starts to the season right now. It's Scottie, it's Rahm, and it's Max Homa right now.
That's exactly right. And then when these two face off, I think this is going to be a match that you don't want to miss. This is
right.
going to be don't mm-hmm. miss TV as far as I'm concerned. But on my sheet, I think Scottie is going to show Max you still got a little bit a ways to go to knock off number one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, just the way that Scottie has gone about this entire season so far, I am also advancing him to the finals. I do think, though, this could be one of those epic sort of match play battles towards the end. I don't think this is one where you see a guy bow out early.
No.
Because they are swinging two of the hottest clubs in the entire sport right now.
That's right. And it would be very fitting that this match goes 21 holes, just because I think it can. And mm-hmm. I could see the lead changing, but never being any bigger than one or two up and, mm-hmm. and seesawing back and forth. But going to the finals will be Mr. Scheffler in basically his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he wins it. All I'm going to tell you.
I am right there. And listen, I think part of it is the battle of attrition as well.
It is.
You look at the one side of the bracket, the one that we just kind of broke down, it is clearly stronger in my eyes. It is clearly Like, honestly, not even close in terms of the strength of this half of the bracket versus the other. And I think that war of attrition may end up hurting Scotty and may end up hurting Max or whoever ends up representing this half of the bracket here. It's going to be a fantastic sort of run here, but I think that it could be a tough little ride for these guys to make it all the way through Sunday.
Yeah, and it is. It is a survival of the fittest. It's a mentally draining process to stay, you know, sharp in this type of format for two rounds, not just one, mm-hmm. two a day.
Yeah.
And so this brings them back to their college days. This brings them yes. back to their U.S. amateur mm-hmm. days. And
or just like when you're a kid, like going exactly. out with your friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, go out and play 18 holes and say, oh, let's have an emergency nine or whatever. But to go play 36 holes mm-hmm. where everything matters, everything counts, is a different... It's just a different way to operate this week for them. They're yeah. just not accustomed.
And
to
listen, they're not wagering hot dogs at the turn here.
No.
There's $20 million.
There's
at stake.
$20 million at stake. So yeah, that will keep them razor sharp and focused on the big prize.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit underway already. I mentioned Max Homa. He's up 1-4. Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns tied through 3. Jason Day and Matt Kuchar tied through 2. Scotty Scheffler already up 1-1 on JT Poston. All right, when we come back, we'll get to the other half and unveil our champions. When we come back, the Dell Technology match play taking place down in Austin right now. This segment was brought to you by Tour Edge, the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be right back.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Is brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, we're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000, 8 to 10 a.m. Be sure to mark it down, put it in your calendar, because we'll be talking golf with you for the next couple of months here. And the weather is certainly looking like it's about to warm up as well. So golf season right around the corner. The official start date, Mike, is a week from
today.
Today.
Yeah,
I was
absolutely.
Trying to do some date math in my head right there.
But April 1st. And that's no April Fool's joke either. That's the real
McCoy.
You can
start logging your scores.
That's right. And to get your 2023 index going, it all starts next Saturday. Hard to believe when I think there's some areas of our town that's going to see 6 inches of snow today.
I know, yeah. Although I will say, like, I feel like we've dodged some bullets. I feel like we sat here, what was it? It was the day after St. Patrick's Day. Wasn't it supposed to snow like 6 inches, 8 inches? And we came in here the next day and there was nothing.
Nothing.
I think we saw more snowflake or less snowflakes than inches we were projected to get.
Yeah. Let's just hope these misses don't cost us in the way of all other kinds of wetness mm-hmm. that can come our way in May and June. So we have been extremely fortunate this winter. When I talked to my friends up in Minnesota and a few other places around the country that just got hammered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we certainly have gotten lucky. I will say that. And here's to more good luck. We'll have to talk to Tracy Butler sometime. You met Tracy yesterday.
I did.
And she is obviously a huge listener of the golf show. She loves playing golf as well, a CDGA member.
Reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. She said, Mike, I am a longstanding CDGA member, and we're fortunate to call her one of our own.
And not a bad player either.
I hear she's a very good player, and we're supposed to have a game this summer together. We're going to see.
Well done. So one of my friends from high school used to caddy for Tracy Butler every once in a while.
Oh, wow.
And a couple of, they may have been like pro-ams or something.
Could be.
It was, yeah, like he used to caddy for Tracy back in the day.
Oh, that's awesome. I bet he got it.
And you want to know how great of a person Tracy is? She remembers him still.
Oh, wow.
And remembers how great of a caddy he was.
Yeah, I watched her maneuver through the crowd and uh-huh. she remembers names like I. It was so impressive, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And yeah, let's have her on.
Yes, we will do that as we get closer and closer to the golf season kicking off. All right, we have our Dell Match Play brackets that we are filling out here. We have already completed one half of the bracket. Both you and I are in agreement that Scottie Scheffler takes down Max Homa to move to the final. Who will he face in that final? Let's start with the matchup between Billy Horschel and Cam Young. I am going to move along Cam Young here. I think he's been playing some really good golf as of late.
Yes, you know, believe it or not, Billy Horschel coming out of, again, another strong
pool play
mm-hmm. with, you know, Jon Rahm and Kevin Mitchell, who had a nice event a couple weeks ago, but Ricky Fowler playing some great golf with a new swing, new and improved. But I'm with you. I think this story of Cam Young and what Webb Simpson gave up to give to his fellow Demon Deacon from mm-hmm. Wake Forest, it almost reminds me of what Bubba Watson did for Scottie Scheffler and giving up Ted Scott. So we could have that kind of a shift. And I thought Webb Simpson handled himself with the greatest of class, the most classy individual in terms of giving up a guy that helped him win the 2018 Players' Championship and the 2012 U.S. Open and five other wins. And that's what I think is so amazing about this game of golf is when guys reach down and do these kinds of unexpected, you know, gratitude and kindness for your fellow player and your, you know, in this case, your fellow Demon Deacon. So he's really helping Cam Young's career here, and Cam Young has turned it around. He is performing for his new guy like mm-hmm. like it's newfound right. knowledge, and not maybe he has.
Not to mention the baseball season does start this week, and he of course has that MLB patch on his polos. All right, Kurt Kitayama going up against Andrew Putnam. These are two guys who maybe weren't favored in their groups, but they emerged victorious. You've got Putnam taking down the likes of Will Zalatoris and Kurt Kitayama taking down Tony Finau and company. But this is an intriguing matchup between two guys who maybe we didn't expect to be here.
Exactly. And, you know, again, Kurt is showing me just a whole new level of play out of this kid. And not only how he won at Bay Hill, but to come through and pull off a three-man playoff and come out on top against the likes of Tony Finau and Bezenhout. Mr. Bezenhout. Mm-hmm. So my pick is with Kitayama. I think he is going to surprise Andrew Putnam and move on.
Yep, coming off of his first professional win on the PGA Tour, and he does it at a pretty prestigious spot as well. I'm going to also pick Kurt to move on here as well. Xander Schauffele taking on J.J. Spaun here. Schauffele, the favorite in his group. He goes across the board with a 3-0. J.J. Spaun, he is at the bottom of his group with some intriguing names there. He takes down Matt Fitzpatrick, also Sahith Theegala as well, but he moves on, and you've got a well-established pro going on one side, and J.J. Spaun, a guy who kind of had to claw his way through to get here.
He did, but he did beat Matt Fitzpatrick, you know, mm-hmm. our U.S. Open winner,
yes.
who's really struggling
yes,
right now.
He really is.
He's mm-hmm. missed his last three cuts, and he doesn't move on here. So how is the past U.S. Open champion feeling about things before he heads into Augusta? Probably not so good.
You wonder if he participated in this event to try to flip a switch, and maybe it's gotten to a point now where it's sort of compounding errors at this
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, if you're Luke Donald, the captain of the Ryder Cup, I mean, you're looking at one of your guys that you're hoping is going to be an anchor, and he didn't fare so well this week, but he is a young guy. He'll snap this thing around. But JJ did come out of a nice bracket there, but unfortunately, his week's going to end this morning against Xander.
I'm right there with you. I've got Xander Schauffele moving on. Lucas Herbert taking on Rory McIlroy, the number three in the world right here. Kind of feels like a no contest.
It does. You know, Rory changed his putter, and that was the big story. And sure enough, there's magic in that thing, and he's rolling that ball as good as ever. But you can't talk about Rory without mentioning the tee shot that he hit against Denny McClain, being one up, going into number 18. The whole play's 375 yards, and it's not exceptionally open or what have you. But he was a little bit downwind and flew the ball. Flew 349 yards, knocks it up to 3 feet. How would you like to be in Denny McCarthy's shoes going, how do I beat that? Oh, well, you just got to knock it in the hole. That's
yeah.
all.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah, but I thought it was also fitting that Rory turns around and says that he's in favor of rolling back the golf ball after he just hit it.
I was just going to bring up the rolling back of the golf ball, right? Like, and he's in favor of rolling it back after putting on one of the greatest tee shots you'll ever see.
Exactly. And they are calling it perhaps the greatest tee shot of all time. Mm-hmm. But Rory's statement, though, the way he looks at it is he thinks this is going to be an easier, more efficient way to find out who truly is the best golfer out mm-hmm. there. Yeah. So the USGA got a nice, you know, supporting player right. in their quest to try to control these distances in that regard. But yeah, I think it's Rory in a runaway there to set up the ultimate Rory versus Xander.
Yes, and I've got Rory emerging out of that matchup right there.
Well, believe it or not, I think Xander is actually going to take him down, because this guy is also playing some good golf, and I think he's going to take advantage of that break he got yesterday on that 17th hole, thinking he was going home. To now, I think he's going to parlay it and use some of this, you know, free momentum now to sort of carry himself at least into the final four.
All right, and then your winner between Cam Young and Kurt Kitayama.
I'm riding the rookie of the year from Wake Forest, Cam Young. That I'm looking for that magic between that new caddy and he to continue. And I look for Cam Young to go into the finals against Scottie Scheffler.
All right. And then you've got Cam Young taking down Scottie.
I do.
All right. I've got Rory advancing past Xander, past Cam Young, and getting to the finals. And I've got Rory penciled in as my winner for this one.
There you go.
I do think, though, that the winner of the Schauffele-McIlroy match, that feels like the winner of that is going to take it all, at least in my eyes.
Yeah,
I know you think differently.
Well,
but
it's funny you bring that up, because I looked at that as the old, is this the AFC championship game that's going to be the stellar event? Mm-hmm. And then the Super Bowl is just kind of a, eh.
Yeah. Which is tough to say when you've got the opponent being Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think this is the other match to really pay close attention to. Otherwise, I would have had Xander winning everything. But I just love the story of Cam Young and the caddy. So I'm, you know, a sucker for stories like that, I suppose.
All right, so you've got Cam Young taking down Scottie Scheffler. I've got Rory McIlroy taking it down Scottie Scheffler in the final iteration of the Dell Match Play taking place down in Austin. All right, this is the CDGA Golf Show. Don't forget, we're going to talk to James Colgan from golf.com coming up at 9:15 as well. Does some fantastic work there, especially with the media stuff. What do you want to see changed with the way that you consume golf? He's always kind of at the forefront of all of that, so looking forward to picking his brain coming up in just a little bit. This segment has been brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
We will give away a taste of the Masters hosting kit in just a little bit. Mike's got another trivia question dialed up, so we'll do that in just a second here. But this segment is brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Bill is in Grays Lake. Bill, welcome to the CDGA Golf Show. What's going on?
Hi. Great show as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. I had to call back in because me and my buddies, I don't know if this happens with you guys and your buddies when you golf, but we're kind of brand loyalists, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a Titleist guy. My buddies are TaylorMade guys. And we go back and forth about, you know, why pros choose the equipment they choose. Mm-hmm. I'm under the impression that Contract obviously has a big deal with why they play what they play. But given we see a lot of players with big brands still going back to a Vokey wedge or a Cameron putter, and I truly believe that they think that that equipment is making them a better player, even if they're under contract with someone else. I wanted your guys' take on, you know, contractually the players and the equipment in that relationship, and why, like Rory, going back to Vokey wedges and Cameron putters, why is that so important to a pro outside of the contract?
That's a great question, yeah. Bill. And you know what it is? It's the 6 inches between your ears.
Yeah.
It's what makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. What do you look down at that looks appealing to when you decide to address the golf ball?
Right.
You know, and it's having that mental confidence and awareness that you not only know the club, but you know how to use it in the most, you know, strangest of conditions, the most pressure of conditions. But Bill hits on something that I have seen so many PGA Tour pros' career get derailed because they got incentivized by the money. And as Bill was talking, I'm thinking about Bob Tway. Here's a guy that long before you were probably even born, he wins the PGA Championship, comes out of Oklahoma State playing Ping golf equipment. Mm-hmm. He played Ping all his life.
Right.
And after he wins a major, Mizuno comes along and shows him all this kind of money. He had to go to a forged blade. Bob Tway fell off the face of the earth.
Right.
And eventually he ends up going back to those clubs, to Bill's point. And it's finding that common ground where, yes, it looks right, you're getting paid right, mm-hmm. and everything feels right.
Right.
But you know what? Brooks Koepka did it on the LIV last year. He dumped everything with, you know, Srixon and went right back to TaylorMade.
And the other part, too, is, like, you bring up the college stuff, too. Like, sometimes you just find what works for you in college. Your college has an affiliation to one of these big golf brands, and you just ride out with that.
That's
and
right.
And you end up playing with it in the pros, or maybe you make a leap, and then you end up coming back to it.
So, Bill, you said you're, you know, a brand loyalist. Which one are you playing?
So, ever since I was a kid, I've always looked up to the Titleist brand as the elite brand, and I've kind of always stuck with it. I just like looking down on their irons and seeing that thin line up top compared to some of the thicker options. My point about the pros, though, the Rory thing, I think, this is my opinion, this is what me and my buddies go back and forth with, at the Open, he was going to win the Open. There was no, I mean, I thought it, everyone else thought it. And then Cam Smith comes along and just dominates him and everyone else with the wedge and the putter play. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, Rory's got Vokey wedges and Cameron putter. Obviously, he played them growing up as well, so he has a comfort level with them. But I don't know. It's just kind of weird that I think that was a turning point for Rory. And, like, to your guys' point, in his head, he's like, you know what? I need to go back to what I'm comfortable with. So I don't know.
You know what I think, and it gets to the point of being in your own head, too. Like, just the, I finished top 10 four times in a major last year.
That's right.
And I didn't win a single one.
Yep. And that can get in your head in a bad way, but it can get in your head in a good way. It just depends on where you are in your career. If you looked at, you know, these young guys like, you know, Cam Young. Mm-hmm. If he finishes in the top 10 four times this year, he's going to call it one heck of a season.
Right.
But when Rory looks at it as, well, I only finished in the top 10 four times and I didn't win, he looks at it completely different.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, hang on the line here. We're going to get you a Masters Journal, all right? So we'll stay on the line here. We'll get your information. Appreciate you calling in to the CDGA Golf Show. 312-332-3776 if you've got a thought as well. We'll give away our Taste of the Masters in a little bit. You've got another trivia question dialed up there, yep. But we'll do all of that in a little bit. But yeah, the gear and the equipment that people use is always something that fascinates me. Like, for me, whether I use Titleist or a Callaway or a TaylorMade, for me, it doesn't matter, right? Like, it's not going to make a difference in my game. But for these guys, that's what all of this science and technology is for. It's to get you that one hair of an edge for a guy like Rory McIlroy, that one hair of an edge for a Scottie Scheffler. Because for them, the little tweaks and the little differences in the equipment actually matter for these guys.
It really does. And, you know, one of the things that I was educated on by my good friend David Glott over at Tour Edge is how much how important sound is to these players, especially on the driver, and also how the ball comes off their putter head. Sound, because you are going to hear all your shots. And I never really equated the two. And until they started making those big driver heads that look like toaster ovens,
right.
And then when you hit it, it sounded awful.
Right.
Like, those were clearly clubs I would just stay away from. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize just how important sound is to not only what I play, but to these guys.
Right. You know, you bring up the driver heads, right? And it's like, it's funny. My sister got me a club head cover for Christmas this year. And she's like, oh, it's for your driver. And I was like, this thing's not going to fit my driver, but it'll fit my hybrid, yeah. And I'll use it for my hybrid, and it needs a head cover there. But like, it's amazing how much it really has changed in terms of the equipment. And you bring up the drivers, like, that's the perfect example of it, that you see the biggest changes so far.
Yeah, it is, and it. I look at it, it's like baseball bats. I mean, when they started out with an aluminum bat, they had such a pingy, ringy, echoey sound. In fact, right. It actually hurts your ears as a hitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now these things sound amazing. They almost sound like a wood bat with the BB core now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have that kind of a rich, crisp sound. So technology in baseball, what they do in golf is right behind it, you know, because they're dealing with that, you know, that rebound effect off the bat.
Right.
They're doing the same thing with the club. So I look at bats and drivers in that same same way.
No,
and
totally agree.
So it's that right head. And do you like the head, you know, perfectly on, a little open? A lot of people like it closed because they're trying to fight that, you know, that banana ball or the power fade, as we like to call it. But yeah, I mean, that's it. And it's funny. Yeah. If the person giving the gift doesn't know any better, it's not often, or not uncommon, I should say, that they give you a head cover that's too small.
Yeah. Exactly. 312-332-3776. If you've got a thought on the gear and equipment that you use or the pros use, or you got a question for us, we'd love to hear from you here on the CDGA Golf Show. When we come back, we will give away another Taste of the Masters prize pack hosting kit coming up in just a little bit. And don't forget, we're going to talk with James Colgan coming up at 9:15 from golf.com, all things leading into the Masters and the Live ratings, too. We've got a new report on Live ratings. So we'll do all of that with James Colgan. Looking forward to that conversation. The CDGA Golf Show will be back in 2 short minutes. The segment was brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf, without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.